So let's think more about Jehoshaphat. Even just seeing his name is a bit of a challenge. But as I already said, he was a man who wanted the facts, a man who loved the truth. So we're going to think about that today. We're going to think first of all about his context, the context he lived in, because it's always important to understand context so we can understand people, why they act the way they do. And then we're going to think about the truth and how he wanted to know the truth and to hear from God. So this is the passage that we're kind of starting with. I'll just read it through. Jehoshaphat says had great wealth and honour. So that's the beginning perhaps of his context. He wasn't a king living in one of the little huts out in the country in Jerusalem. He was the king. He lived in a palace. His people loved him, as we saw last week. And he was a person who really cared for his people, wanted justice for them, wanted them to know the truth of God, wanted them to turn to the Lord. All of these things we saw last week. But he was also very wealthy. I suppose most of us look at the homes of the wealthy, if you like. Always, of course, we think wealth is someone else, don't we? I was conscious of that even watching some of the delegates in our assembly, including the gentleman from South Sudan, and just thinking, you know, here we are thinking that we're not very well off as a church. And here's this man, and his churches are being burned down. And, you know, in material terms, he has nothing. Wealth is very much relative. But this man, Jehoshaphat, was very wealthy. And sometimes we look behind the doors of the wealthy and we think, must be great. You know, in a rich man's world, as Abba sang, must be all fine. But, you know, behind every door where every family lives, there's a story and a context that may not be at all in keeping with the fine facade. You know, whether it's, you know, River City or Downton Abbey, there's dramas, there's troubles and there's trials behind those doors. So, the king of Israel urged the king of Jehoshaphat to attack Ramoth Gilead. And king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, said, first seek the counsel of the Lord. And Micaiah came and said, look, Israel, they don't really have a king. Ahab's nothing. He's not even a king. They're like sheep without a shepherd. So let's get a picture. We've got Judah in the south. And this is the kingdom where the spiritual action is happening. This is the kingdom through which the line that leads to Jesus is. And Jehoshaphat is one of the most illustrious of the kings of Judah. And then there's Israel to the north. Now Israel and Judah were one country until about 70 years previous to this. And this, after Solomon, the kingdom split into two. And there were two kings, and their lines continued in Israel and Judah. So Jehoshaphat's a good man. Ahab in the north is definitely not. Ahab is married to Jezebel. You've perhaps heard the word Jezebel used, you know, as a word for a particularly wicked, dissolute woman. And that's what Ahab had as his wife. And she was from Phoenicia, where they worshipped the god Baal. And she brought the worship of idols, the worship of Baal, very much into the heart of Israel. They had a daughter called Athaliah. And Jehoshaphat's firstborn son, the heir to the throne, was a man called Jehoram. And they allied themselves to each other. Jehoram married Athaliah. And that was going to be big trouble. If you read past the story of Jehoshaphat, big trouble. for the kingdom of Judah. Terrible times, because Athaliah was like her mother. So there's an alliance by marriage between these two kingdoms, and that's brought them a lot closer together. And Jehoshaphat seems to want that alliance. I think Jehoshaphat's a man who says, you know, I don't want the two countries to be separated. We're brothers, and we should be together. And he's got this heart for that, but it makes him make some very bad decisions, as we'll see. Anyway, this alliance is not going to give peace. This alliance is going to create a great deal of conflict. We're familiar with conflict in the world. We see it today in this very part of the world. We see it with Israel and Gaza just now. We see it with Russia and Ukraine. There are many other places, South Sudan, many places where there is conflict. And if either of these kingdoms, Israel or Judah, shows any weakness, there are a whole host of nations all around just waiting to take land from them. And so what had happened was that Israel was weak because Ahab was such a poor king. This kind of coloured, this cross-hatched area here with the city of Ramoth-Gilead there to the east had been taken off Israel by Syria, by Aram and the king of Syria. And this conflict is really at the heart of the story here. Ahab, the king, invites Jehoshaphat up. They have a feast, and Ahab flatters Jehoshaphat and gets him to the point where he proposes a joint attack on Ramoth-Gilead. Fact is, Judah is actually much stronger than Israel, and Ahab can't do it on his own. And Jehoshaphat, for some reason, agrees. But at the heart of the story, there is this tension. They have different gods, they have different morality in the two nations, and the kings are very different, and one is strong in the south, one is weak in the north, and there's conflict with the surrounding nations. Very topical, I guess, and it's easy for us always to pontificate, whether it's Israel or in Gaza, to say what should be happening, or even in this situation. Easy for us to look back and say, well, Jehoshaphat, you shouldn't have done that, or Ahab, you should have done that. Very easy for us. But we all have conflict in our lives. And maybe some of you here this morning have a lot of conflict. Might be in your family, might be in your workplace, might be across your garden fence. It causes great grief to you. And all of us have to face this at times. And we know that when we're in conflict situations, we'll get lots of advice. And lots of people will tell us what we should be doing. And it's easy for them. But when you're in conflict, it's a very painful place. Sometimes it's very difficult for us to see clearly and to understand what we should do. But Jehoshaphat, he said to Ahab, king of Israel, first seek the counsel of the Lord. That's good advice. That's very good advice. And, you know, I know some of you, when you're facing conflict, you get your Bibles out. And you sit down and you listen and you meditate and you pray. And you're like, God, calm your spirit and speak to you. In conflict, of course, our spirits are often very upset. But you just keep trying to get to that place until you can hear his voice and he can speak a peace that passes understanding into your heart. And that's what I think Jehoshaphat was looking for here. And it should be our instinct. You know, of course, in emergencies, we often run around like headless chickens in conflict. But what is your instinct? You know, is your instinct, well, I want to know what God says. I want the truth. He's the only one that actually sees the situation as it really is. So he's the one who by his Spirit is going to speak to me words of truth to help me. So let's think about truth for a short time. I hope we all want to know truth, but fact is often we don't. And when we get to hear truth, you know, you go to the doctor says you've got to lose weight, you've got to stop smoking, you know, you've got to cut out sugar from your diet, or gluten, or whatever it is. We think, what? We don't want truth sometimes. But that's what's going to lead to health. And often we say we want to know what Jesus says until he says it. He says, if anyone would come after me and be my disciple, he must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Well, I want truth, but that's not the truth I want. Well, that is the truth. There isn't any other truth. So let's hear a few things about truth this morning. First thing is, truth is not the same as what you want to hear. Truth is not the same as what you want to hear. So, in the story here, the king Ahab brings together the prophets, 400 men. He says, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go, the answer, for God will give it into the king's hand. Well, you think 400 men. Who are these 400 men? Well, cross over to the book of Kings and you'll find out. Because in Israel, there were the prophets of the Lord. And among them, of course, were people like Micaiah and Elijah and later Elisha. But Jezebel had killed them. Most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. She had killed them. And in the place, she brought in prophets of Baal. Now, Baal's not a god. Baal's nothing. If anything's happening with Baal, it's that demonic powers are coming in with the worship of the idols and truly deceiving and misleading. So, you're not going to get the truth from these 400 men. And in any case, Jezebel's got them staying at the palace. She's looking after them. They're kind of beholden to her. They're never going to tell her the truth. They're never going to tell Ahab the truth. They're going to tell them what they want to hear, and that's exactly what's happening. The truth is not the same, though, as what you want to hear. And this is something that we need to probably be more careful about than ever today, because it's very easy to go on to our devices and only log on to the sites, listen to the podcasts, connect with the people who are going to tell us what we want to hear. They're going to affirm us as we are rather than challenge us to be something better. And that's what was happening here. But we need the truth. Because the thing about truth is it always proves itself. Now, for example, if Jesus says to us that we need to repent and believe, which was the very beginning of his message, then we need to repent of our sins and begin to follow him, trust him. And if we say, oh, I don't want to do that, then that truth, we'll just sit there and we'll go our way until the day when we see Jesus before us as our judge. Truth always comes back to prove itself. So the truth's not the same as what we want to hear. And so we need to watch that. You need to think, well, where will I go to hear someone who's going to affirm what I want to do anyway? If you're thinking that, bad approach. Very bad approach. You want the truth no matter whether you like it or not. Here's another thing about truth. If you suppress it, it's still truth. Truth suppressed is still truth. So, the 400 have their say, and Jehoshaphat says, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? The king of Israel, Ahab, answered Jehoshaphat, there is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah. So, Ahab is saying, this man, I think I know he tells the truth, but I don't want to hear that. And I hate it. And I hate him. And so he knows the truth, but he's suppressing it. Ahab already knew that he was going to die before this happened. Again, cross back to, in fact, let's just look it up, 1 Kings 21. The story of Naboth's vineyard, which backed onto Ahab's palace grounds. And Ahab fancied having the vineyard for himself as a vegetable garden. And so he asked Naboth for it. Naboth said, "No, it's my inheritance." So Ahab, to cut a long story short, had Naboth killed and then had a land grab and took Naboth's vineyard from him. And Elijah came along. Elijah the prophet, to speak the truth to Ahab. "This is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property?" And this is God telling Elijah what to say. "Then say to him, this is what the Lord says. In the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood." And this all comes true. You think Ahab gets killed away up in Ramoth Gilead. Well, how can it be true that when he gets killed away up there, the dogs are going to lick his blood back in Samaria? Well, because his blood flowed into his chariot. As he died, his chariot got taken back to Ramoth Gilead and washed, and the blood that flowed out was licked by the dogs, just where Naboth's blood had been. But Ahab is trying to run from this. It's true. Elijah's spoken it. Elijah's words are often unlikely, but they always come true. And Ahab knows that, but he's suppressing the truth. "I hate the truth," is what he's saying. And so he's trying to get around him the people that say what he wants to hear. And I think our society is very much like that today. You know, we're coming up a general election. And, you know, basically, we have got prophets called politicians who are going to prophesy to us what they think we want to hear. And it's not necessarily good, because democracy isn't a particularly good way of politics. It's just the best of a bad bunch. In fact, I think there are better ways. But they're going to prophesy what we want to hear, and we'll say, "Oh, I like what that candidate said. I'll vote for him or her." But our society needs some radical changes of thinking on a whole host of subjects, because it's obviously headed in bad directions. And we need speakers of truth. It's very hard to speak the truth in our society today because of the way that social media works, because of the way that people are very ready to be very aggressive, very threatening towards people who do. And we need to see through all of this. It's not a good landscape for truth just now. And we need to see how our whole society is suppressing it, suppressing the truth. We need to recognise the false prophecy that's going on. And we need to try and find where the truth lies. Truth may lie maybe with a politician who's standing as an independent, perhaps, who's wanting to focus on one issue because they've got no, you know, they maybe don't think they'll be elected, but at least they can speak the truth. The truth may lie with the commentators who speak about in a neutral way. The truth may lie with the wisdom of your grandmother. The truth may lie in all kinds of places, but look for it. And of course, in a general sense, the truth lies with Jesus. So truth suppressed is still truth. Here's another thing: the battle for truth is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. There's this mysterious incident. I've not really got time to go into it, but there's a vision that Micaiah has, and there are spiritual forces at work. And God sends, or God allows, these spiritual forces to lie on the mouths of the prophets of Baal, to mislead Ahab, to fulfill the prophecy of Elijah, so that Ahab, for some bizarre reason, will go into the battle when he's been told the truth twice now by Elijah and Micaiah that he's going to die because God's judgment is on him and he is going to die. And he goes and he dies. And it's a spiritual battle. There are spiritual forces at work. Again, we don't see that. And we discount it. And I guess for most people, it's just not a reality we consider, even for many Christians. There are plenty of people into the occult today, they take this very seriously. But Christians should take this very seriously too. Because, as Paul says, there are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the very first encounter about truth that happens in the Bible is between the devil and Adam and Eve. And that kind of encounter keeps going all the way through the Bible. Lying spirits. So, we need to watch out for this situation where people are, you know, where a lot of people are saying one thing that so makes it sound very plausible. What they're really saying is, Ahab, attack Ramoth-Gilead, for the Lord will give it into your hand. In other words, they're saying, doesn't matter how you live, Ahab, you can be worshipping Baal, you know, you can be living the most immoral life, the most God-hating life, but God will still bless you. There's a truth in our society today, when I say truth in inverted commas, we hear all the time at funerals, all the time when people are speaking about people who died. Doesn't matter how they lived, they're in heaven now. And there's a spiritual battle. That's not true. It does matter how you live. It matters very much. Last Sunday evening, spoke about Manasseh. Now, he lived terribly. He was one of the worst people the Bible tells us about. He was another king of Judah, a little bit after Jehoshaphat. But he turned from his sins to the Lord. He repented. And he realized how wrong he was living. And that he didn't have God's blessing. Another way to have God's blessing was to turn to the Lord and cast himself on the mercy of God. And he did. And God forgave him and restored him. It does matter how we live. And there's a spiritual battle that's trying to destroy us because the devil hates God. And you bear the image of God, so he hates you too. And he wants to destroy God, but he can't do that. But he'll do his best to destroy those who bear his image. That's you. And you need to find truth. Not where it's just been put out into society by all the false prophets. You need to find truth, ultimately, in Jesus Christ. So just to bring everything to a close, perhaps one of the great truths that we can take away with us this morning is this. Look for the person who tells you what you don't want to hear. Now, that's not always going to work, but often it does. Look for the person who tells you what you're not wanting to hear. The person who loves you. The person who cares for you. The person who is prepared to be rejected by you in order to do you good, like Jesus was. The person who would die for you. The person who has a closeness to God that enables them to come alongside you and say, look, what you really need to do is not get better from your illness or, you know, start making money again. What you really need is to bring your life under Jesus Christ. Maybe we don't want to hear that, But that's what we need. Look for the person who tells you what you don't want to hear. The story, as far as we've taken it, kind of comes to the point where Micaiah has been rejected. And the false prophet Zedekiah slaps him in the face, asks him this strange question. We don't really need to understand exactly what the question is. I confess, I don't. But Micaiah says, you will find out. Because you're going to go and hide because the war is coming to you. That you think you're going to win because you keep saying you're going to win. It's not. You're not going to win. The war is coming to you. You're going to run and hide. You'll find out the truth. If you reject the truth will come and get you. If you reject Jesus, he will be your judge. If you listen to Jesus and receive Jesus, he will be your Savior, your Lord, your friend forever. Don't deny the truth. Seek the truth. Don't put it off either. Seek it now. Let's pray for a moment. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you. You've just opened up a little bit of clarity to us this morning. A little bit of vision. A little bit of understanding of the context we live in. The society that we're in with all its different forces at work. And with its false prophets. And with its truth tellers as well. Please, Lord Jesus, help us to find the truth and to stick by it. Whatever it costs. Help us, Lord Jesus, to listen to you because we know you're the one who looked at us and saw that the truth about us was not at all pleasant. But you were prepared to even go and die for our sins. Such is your love for us. Thank you, Jesus. You will always follow the truth yourself, no matter what it costs you, even as you always follow love. Thank you, Jesus, that we can trust you. So help us, Lord, to listen carefully to you and to follow you always.